helping you to realize that all your relationships can be screen-free. This is Screen Free Radio with relationship expert Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB. Call now and talk to Hal at 404-872-0750 or toll free at 1-800-WSB-TALK.
Bringing you a newfound calm into your stress-filled life and helping you create the relationship you've always wanted. This is Scream Free Radio. It is 7 minutes past the hour, and I am thrilled to be back. This was actually a week I did not travel, which is rare, so my wife and family, who are actually here with me in the studio today, as always, Jenny Runkle, co-producer of the show. You can say hello.
Hello.
There it is. That was nice and sexy. Thank you very much for that. And we actually did a terrible job of farming out our kids today. So they are in a room here, and I just have to apologize to the folks at WSB for whatever damage they cause. One of the principles of screen-free parenting is we are not responsible for our children. You are not responsible for your kids. So I'm not responsible for whatever they do. They tear up the place. It's not my responsibility, right? And actually, that's not the purpose of that statement. You are not responsible for your kids because they are responsible for themselves. And the reality is that I'm actually not responsible for any other human being. I can't be. Because logically, what that means, if I'm responsible for another human being, then they're not ever making choices on their own. Then I'm making their choices for them. So certainly you can see how this would cause problems in a relationship at home where you think, all right, it's your job to be responsible for your kids. So that means it's your job to make sure they behave the right way, think the right way, feel the right way. And if they don't, if they simply exercise their God-given mind of their own, then somehow that means it's your fault because you're responsible for them, right? It's your fault. So you go from this tremendous sense of anxiety, trying to get them to behave, and then when they don't, because they can thwart this whole system with one word, right? What's the word, Jenny?
In our house, usually it's no.
Yeah, exactly. So they thwart this whole system designed to get them to behave, right? With simply saying no, and then, well, shoot, I didn't see that coming. Now what? Meanwhile, it's evading the whole job of parenting, which is to help prepare them for a life without me. The whole job of parenting is to raise independent individuals capable of being responsible for themselves. Well, you know what? The same is true in marriage. I am not responsible for my spouse. Now you think, of course, it's a grown person, right? Well, take it even further. This is where it's a little more challenging. I am not responsible for my spouse's happiness. Now then you think, well, but isn't that why we got married? I'm not responsible for meeting my spouse's needs. Wait a second. That's what I've been told. I've been taught that in church. I've been taught that in everywhere. My counselor even said it. Responsible for meeting my spouse's needs, so I need to be less self-centered. I need to be focused more on what my spouse needs. And I need to work harder at figuring that out so that I can meet those needs. And then you know what's going to happen? Is she is going to, or he is going to, do the same thing for you. That because they see you working so hard to meet their needs, that they're going to work so hard to meet your needs. And that's the way it's going to work out. It's this wonderful quid pro quo system. Except the problem with that whole line of thinking is, okay, all right, if we're just focused on meeting the other spouse's needs, well, how am I going to help them focused on meeting my needs? Well, that means necessarily, just following the logic, that means necessarily then I have to really, really get to know my needs so that I can express them to my spouse, right? So I need to learn to authentically communicate what I need from my spouse. Meanwhile, I'm trying to ask my spouse the right questions to get them to articulate what, get her to articulate, in my case, what she needs from me. So there's a lot of conversation going on, both internally and between the two of us, about what our needs are. The problem is, it just really creates needy people. Really needy people. I need you. I need you to need me, to quote Cheap Trick. I need this from you. I need you to speak to me in this way, or else I'm not going to work hard to meet your needs. This is just one of the lies, and I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, but it's one of the lies that perpetuates not just marriages, but worse, it perpetuates marital education. It perpetuates relationship education. What is going on out there, going around out there, getting taught out there, that's what relationships are based on, meeting one another's needs, especially the marital relationship. And it's for that reason that, pat ourselves on the back, Miss Jenny, you and I are writing another book.
That's right.
And it is a momentous week for us because we just sent off the 75-page proposal to the publisher.
To our agent.
To our agent. She's editing it. And then it's getting sent to the publisher.
So I don't get quite so excited just yet. It'll come back with a lot of red ink, I'm sure.
It's going to be perfect. She is not going to have one edit. Not one, because it is perfect. It might as well have been inspired. It's that good.
Nice.
It just dropped down from heaven in a Word document. Actually, I would love for that to be the way the book ends up. That way we wouldn't actually have to write the whole thing. But we're going to talk about, because it's been on our mind, we have been working on this for, oh gosh, what, 8 months? Trying to come up with, all right, what is a way to... Here's the goals of a great relationship book and a great relationship message is there's so much noise out there. You're hearing, I mean, every magazine cover, especially every woman's magazine cover, but even men's magazine covers now, all have relationship advice, right? And there's so many relationship advisors out there. And the difficulty is I disagree with about 99% of them. So how do I articulate a message that doesn't make me just look completely out of touch? Like, you got no clue, dude. No clue. Now, obviously, I hear that message a lot from people who are wrong, even experts who are wrong because they disagree with me. But I want to communicate a different message about marriage, not just to combat what's going on in marriages, but to combat what's getting taught about marriages. Because marriages are in trouble. We know that. I mean, it's not just 50% of marriages now. It's getting closer to 60% of first marriages are failing, are expected to fail. 60%. 60%. I don't think that's just because people are selfish. I think it's because we're learning bad models. And we're going to talk about a different model, something we're calling scream-free marriage, conveniently. And it's not just about lowering our voice with our spouses. It's not just about learning to fight fair so that we can have discussions without blowing up at each other. All of that is included, but it's far more optimistic than that. It's a far bigger vision for relationship than that. It's a relationship vision that wants to say everything that you are going through right now in your most important relationship, that in your marriage, is actually supposed to be happening. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's one of the truths of scream-free marriage. Your marriage is supposed to be this difficult as it is right now. And here's why. Every relationship system is perfectly functioning to get the exact results it's getting. If it weren't, then it would be getting different results. You have two parties playing ping pong with each other, right? And they're playing ping pong, and it's creating a ping pong relationship. The difficulty is, it's so easy to get upset with the way the other person is hitting the ball back at you. So, you hit the ball back at them. And then you're upset when they hit it back at you. So you hit it back at them. And it's so easy to focus on the way that they're doing that, not realizing you're just perpetuating it by whatever it is you're doing. What I want to help you do today is help you see how you are actually helping to perpetuate the very things you complain about in your marriage. The very things you complain about, the thing that you're struggling with right now, you're thinking about your marriage and thinking, oh, if he only knew this, if my spouse were only doing this, if this were only different. But the difficulty is, that involves you. And as long as you're not able to see that, then you can't do anything about it. You'll just continue hitting the ping pong ball back to your spouse, hoping that they hit it back differently. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to help you figure out what it is you're doing that's actually sabotaging the relationship, that's actually perpetuating the bad patterns you complain about. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. 1-800-972-8255. What are the struggles that you are going through in your marriage right now? What are the conflicts, like we talked about last week, that you are struggling with? Let me help you change the game by changing your part of the pattern. That's what Scream Free ultimately helps us do, is look at ourselves, knowing that that doesn't excuse our spouse for doing whatever they're doing, but it does help us begin to recognize, wait, I'm the only one I can actually control in this situation. I'm the only one I'm responsible for, like we started talking about. So if I'm responsible for me, what can I do differently? Because if you're not part of the problem, then there's no way you can be part of the solution. So the first step is courageously recognizing that you're part of the problem. And that's what I want to help you do. I want to hear your situation. I want to help you see how you are actually contributing to it, and then help you take concrete changes to change the whole relationship, to change the game. After the break, we'll take your calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. You are listening to Scream Free Radio on News Talk 750 WSB.
He's calming the world one relationship at a time. Now back to Scream Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB.
23 minutes past the hour. This is Scream Free Radio, and we are here to help bring you newfound calm into your stress-filled life and help you create the relationships you have always craved. And we are talking about marriage. And Kevin in Kennesaw wants to talk about his marriage. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Hal, what a great subject, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity and your program today.
Well, thank you. I like hearing people say that I'm great. Thank you.
Better believe it, buddy.
What is going on with you, man? How can I help?
Hey, Hal, if you don't mind, be transparent here.
Okay.
Now, I've been married for 27 years.
27 years. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But things are changing, and I will tell you, I'm ready to either fire my wife or get a new wife, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And the reason why is my wife is not currently sleeping in the same room as I am.
All right.
We don't talk. She actually talks to herself probably more than she talks to me. Just running around the house, basically, and not taking care of the home.
Talks to herself in a sane way?
Well, it doesn't. I don't know if it's sane or not. I really don't know. She seems to be talking to herself.
And
I don't know if she's going through some changes or things like that, but the concern I have is that we're not talking.
Yeah.
We don't do anything together, Hal. Nothing.
Really?
I'm a pretty busy person. Got a couple businesses.
Okay.
And work, but we don't do anything together. People don't even know if I'm married or not. They want to know, where's the wife? You know, I go out to things that require
by yourself.
Couples, and exactly, and I just don't like it.
Okay, tell me this. How long has it been going on?
Oh, years.
Several
years, yeah.
Okay, tell me.
Probably 10 years, yeah.
10 years, and you're just now calling me about it.
Well, that's true, yeah.
10 years, so no counseling up to this point?
No, not through my church. No, I have not done that, only because she won't go with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have said, you know what, I'm not going to pursue getting outside help for this unless she's going to participate with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it takes two to tango, right?
Yeah, I know it takes, yeah, exactly. I know it's good for me to probably go, but it wouldn't help unless you know both sides of the story. You know?
Sure. So what happens when you calmly but firmly bring it up that, you know what, I don't like our relationship, and I don't like that I don't like our relationship. What happens when you tell that to her?
How she immediately goes into another room, or if we're downstairs, she'll go immediately upstairs, lock the door in the other room, and that's it.
Okay, so you bring up anything uncomfortable or anything at all, it sounds like, because you're not talking. She goes into another room like a cat.
Absolutely.
Just goes.
She thinks we're arguing. She thinks I want to argue with her about it, and it's just basically asking questions. And as soon as it challenges her, she just goes away and doesn't want to talk about it
at
all.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question about the pet. Okay, you said it's been going on 10 years. What happened 10 years ago?
Well, I don't really know. I'm pretty busy. I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, she took pretty much raised a family, which was wonderful, of course. But I've been, you know, I was between job and my businesses, was gone a lot.
Travel?
And, engaged with a lot of people, you know, just networking and, you know, just enjoying other people. Because I'm a pretty outgoing person.
Right.
And so I do a lot for a community. And work.
And how many kids?
Two grown kids now.
Okay. And how old are they?
Yeah, they're 26 and 27.
So they left about 10 years ago.
That's correct.
Right. How connected is she with them?
Well, she's pretty connected. As a matter of fact, my daughter, her and her husband, you know, they talk, of course, when they call, and they're in Texas.
Okay.
And my son actually came back. He's living with us now, so they have a pretty good relationship.
He's living with you now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. First of all, just some basic education about statistics is highest rate of divorce occurs in the first 5 years just because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
The second highest rate of divorce, by far, is when the first kid begins to leave for college, or begins to leave the home, because it signifies a major shift in the family going forward, a shift that things are going to be different from now on, and the couple that has been so focused on their kids and, you know, has been the basis of all their conversation now has to look at each other.
Right.
And so all the stuff they haven't done now comes back, or they haven't talked about. Now they don't even know who they are. But I have one critical question. Why haven't you left?
Well, the big reason is I am a Christian,
okay.
And she's also a Christian.
Okay.
And we believe, we go back to the beginning, we believe we were put, you know, basically put together
right.
by God. And we do fear God over that. So, you know, you're looking for the best to come out. I know it takes time for things to change sometimes, but we do fear God. And we believe, we know God hates divorce, and I hate divorce.
Okay, so you hate divorce, but obviously you're okay with really not being married.
Right.
Because you're not married.
The bottom line, just won't try to support me or each other and do things together. And we do nothing together.
Nothing together. Nothing. What happens when you invite her?
She doesn't want to participate.
Does she say that, or does she go into another room?
Basically says no. Yeah, don't want to do it. I just recently came off a cruise. I went with some other friends, but she didn't want to go on my cruise.
Okay.
Doesn't want to go to the grocery store. Doesn't want to do anything. I mean, just going to the store together.
Okay.
Pick up groceries. And she doesn't want to do anything. She didn't want to do it by herself. To, you know, go and, you know, handle a grocery store, do things like that. Keeping the home clean properly. Now I have to encourage her to get that done.
Because that's her job?
Well, that's part of her job. I just can't do it all.
Yeah. You said something interesting. You said, either I'm going to fire my wife. Or get a new one.
Yeah.
As if you hired her in the first place.
Right. Well, I think that relationships have certain responsibilities to each other.
Okay. Hey, you know what? All right. I think you're an interesting guy, and I think you're open to my questioning. So,
yes, sir.
If you're willing, I don't like to do this, but if you're willing, I would like you to stay on. I'd like to continue this conversation.
That'd be great, Hal, if you don't mind.
No, sure, I would like it, but it's going to be a long break, so I got to just hang on.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Kevin, we'll be back with you. For everybody else, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, that's 1-800-972-8255. You are listening to Scream Free Radio here on News Talk 750 WSB.
It's just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why. if they told you you would cry.
It's a relationship revolution you don't want to miss. You're listening to Screen Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB.
Willing to bring you a newfound calm into your stress-filled life and helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. This is Screen Free Radio, and I'm your host, Hal Runkle. And we are talking about creating a relationship revolution in your marriage. And the most difficult part of that is being willing to focus on, okay, what could I possibly be doing that is perpetuating the bad pattern I'm experiencing? Because it is so incredibly easy to focus on the other person. It's so incredibly easy to focus on what the other person is doing and then complain about that to your friends, to your family, to your parents. And then when you do, so often, what they will do is hear, oh, yeah, she's doing that. Gosh, oh, gosh. And then they will give you this sense of validation. That must be really hard for you. How do you struggle with that? You know what? My wife does the same thing. And all we've just done is perpetuate the very thing that's causing the problem in the first place is my inability to focus on what I'm doing. It is always, always, always easier to complain than it is to change. And we are on the phone with a guy who says he's willing to change. Kevin, at least that's what I
absolutely
think I hear in your voice.
That's one of my best words is change. I have no problem with doing that.
Well, good. Well, then you're probably an Obama fan then.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So what? Let's pick up where we left off. You've been married 27 years, but for the last 10 years, it would be a stretch to call it a marriage.
That's correct.
And it has been deteriorating to the point that now you guys don't talk, you sleep in different rooms, you never spend time together.
Yeah.
Which sounds just lovely, by the way. Sounds awful. And you know, my question to you was, why haven't you left? I want to ask it in a different way.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why isn't it worse?
Why isn't it worse?
Yeah.
Why? Not sure.
Why are you guys not beating each other up? Why are you not cheating on each other? Why is it not worse?
Well, that's not our character traits, for one.
Okay.
That's one thing, and we know the consequences of trying to harm someone else. I like my freedom.
Okay. All right. So you don't want to go to jail, you got to feel trapped in this relationship, though.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'll be honest with you. I am ready to move on. There's several people I'm sure I could have a better relationship with, but you just don't know. I don't know whether to move on or not move on. Again, we do fear God in
okay.
the marriage. I believe part of the problem today is that men don't get support, from their wives or from their fiancés. And that's part of the problem. A lot of guys tell me they're not getting support. They're trying to find somebody who will just say, hey, you're the best on the planet. I'm so glad I married you. I never hear that. I know I'm one of the best men on the planet, but I never hear that.
You
never hear the I love you stuff.
Okay, well, here's what I would tell you. All right? Well, let me ask you this question. How do you judge whether you're one of the best husbands on the planet?
One is take care of my family.
Okay, meaning provide for them.
Yeah, provide for them.
Okay, you do that well.
Yeah.
How else would you define yourself as one of the best husbands on the planet?
As far as caring, loving, again, taking care of business of the home, if you will.
Okay.
I do have a job. I have no problem finding another job if I had to.
Right.
I love to work.
Uh-huh.
I have a couple businesses. I have a radio program, Hal, that I'd love to have you on sometime. We'll talk about that later.
Fantastic.
But we have a program. I just do a lot of things I think that would...
Okay, and all that says that you're a good provider and a hard worker, but I'm wondering, what does it say about you as a husband that your wife wants to spend no time with you?
Well, I don't know. That's what I don't know. I'm trying to find out.
It's either one of two things. One is something's just wrong with her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Two, something is wrong with you, plural.
Right.
Not you by yourself, but the way you guys do you-ness.
Right. And we're not talking, so I don't know. I mean, right. I ask those questions. What can I do better or what I'm not doing? I don't know. It's like that's like a partner in a sport activity. If you don't know what he or she's thinking and right. about what I'm not doing, I don't know what we're doing. We're probably going to lose the game.
Here's the truth, all right? One of the truths that I work with is you cannot not communicate.
Right.
We're constantly communicating at all times. So I say nothing to my wife for a week. I'm communicating something.
That's right.
So what is your wife communicating to you by not talking to you?
Well, basically saying, I'm asking her even why she's even here. If she doesn't think I'm, you know, she should be here.
And what do you think her answer is?
Well, it's never an answer. It's just
no response. She's what is her silence telling you?
That she doesn't want to be here. Doesn't want to be with me or be at home.
Right.
But yet she stays. I'm saying, why are you still here if I'm so bad or if you don't like what I'm doing?
Okay. And what are you communicating to her, you think?
I really don't know, Hal, I'll be honest with you. One thing I don't try to do is think for somebody else, but I'd like to at least hear your comments, whether it's good or bad. I don't know. She's not communicating at the adult level, if you will.
Okay.
I just don't know.
You said something about you're wondering about firing her.
Yeah.
Which implies that at some level you think marriage was about hiring her to raise your kids and to keep your house clean while you go and do what you love to do and provide for the family. That's
right.
What I've heard. And so you have thought about her as, in many ways, a maid and a nanny for many, many years.
Yes, I could understand how that could be translated, yeah.
And so either you have taught her that so well that she is waiting for you to fire her so that she can then have a life, right?
That could be, yes, sir, yeah.
So it sounds like an important step for you would be asking yourself, have I reduced the spouse that I committed my life to, my heart to, have I reduced her to something that is only of instrumental value to me? She has no intrinsic value on her own. She's only as good as she is useful. And as long as she's useful raising our kids and keeping our house, then she's worth keeping around.
Interesting.
Which makes her feel like not much more than a hired slave.
Well, Hal, one thing that, you know, we're trying to do things together over the years. I mean, if you don't want to continue to participate, that means you may want to do some other things.
True.
In the home, you know, which is fine. But, again, the reason why I mention that, I want your participation in this relationship.
Sure, absolutely you do.
Not getting that, and I don't
But she's right now maybe equating participation, meaning doing more cleaning.
Well, she's not doing that, though. She's not doing that well.
Good. If she feels like that she has been trapped in a situation where her husband has hired her whole life, then I'm glad that she's suddenly quitting that job. Maybe that's a way to get your attention. Because if you're not going to fire her, outright fire her, then maybe she's just decided to quit. But either way, it's still considered a job.
Yeah.
My question is, do you miss having a wife, a partner, a best friend, an equal? Do you miss her?
Yeah, we tell her that. Yeah, I tell her that a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do tell her a lot, but no, there's no response to that.
Right, because she's still waiting for you to fire her. Here's what I would suggest. Fire her. Go to her and say, you know what? For far too long, I have thought of you as someone I hired to help raise my kids and keep my house. And I would pay you with the work that I do outside the home to provide for you. And I've thought of you that way. And now that you don't have these kids to raise, I want to say that I'm sorry for ever doing that to you in the first place. And I don't care if you ever clean the house again.
Yeah.
What I would like is just to go out to eat.
Yeah.
And just begin to get to know each other and create an atmosphere where you feel free to tell me how angry you've been or how helpless you have felt or how like you haven't even felt a stake of ownership in this relationship where it's felt like I've owned you. And that has led us to the situation we're in now where we can't even talk. We don't even know who each other are. And this is not the way that you wanted to spend your golden years. Invite her on a date. Apologize to her for treating her like a maid and a nanny, and then invite her on a date. And here's the real kicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You invite her, you say, hey, I've made reservations, it's no big deal, we don't have to get dressed up, it's just a restaurant here on Friday night, I would love for you to go with me. And then, even if she says no, you go anyway. And you go anyway. And if she decides to say no, you go anyway, and you take a notepad, and you begin to think about every instance in the last 27 years where you have treated her, not like an equal partner wife, but like someone that you hired to raise a family for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to make that list of, here are the ways that maybe I need to apologize. Or I would say, no, maybe. And say, I need to apologize. But you apologize first.
Yes.
And fire her from that position and tell her, I don't care if you ever clean again. That's not what you are to me. And you got to confront yourself with that.
Yeah.
That is not what you are to me. What you are is my life partner, my lover, my best friend. And meet me at this place. Meet me at this restaurant. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. Whether or not you show up, I'll be there. And I would love for you to join me. You take that type of initiative. But this isn't for her you're doing this. This is for you.
Yes, sir.
Because if you do, if she decides she doesn't want to be part of you, and you decide, you know what, we're going, and you get divorced, you're going to face this exact same thing with your next wife. So that's why you do this now. Relationships, the way they're at right now, as difficult as they are right now, are difficult in order to teach us. So the struggle you're going through right now, I believe, is the struggle you're supposed to be going through, because it's asking you to ask tough questions of yourself.
Right.
Like, have I treated the most important person in my life, have I treated her as less than me? As a hired hand for me?
Yeah.
And if I've done that, what does that say about me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, sir.
I want you, I'm going to take another call, and then you're going to go back to the screener, okay? And
yes, sir.
We've got a referral that if you want to take up someone who can help you through this, that can guide you through this, and someone you go to with or without your wife. And if obviously you take it if you want, but if you want to go, we've got a referral for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
But I want to thank you for calling and being as transparent as you said you were going to be.
Well, thank you so much for your time and a great topic. And we hope that a lot of people call in because there's a lot of needs out there.
Thanks, man. See you again.
Thanks. God bless.
Well, your relationship right now is supposed to be as difficult as it is, because every struggle that we have is teaching us a lesson about ourselves. The difficulty is being willing to see it. It is far easier, always easier, to complain than it is to change. Because we usually want to complain, we're complaining about another person. And there are plenty of people out there who want to join you at the bar, even at church, willing to help you complain about that other person. What I'm here to help you do is change you. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's 1-800-972-8255. You're listening to Scream Free Radio on News Talk 750 WSB.
With New York Times bestselling author and creator of the Scream-Free Relationship Revolution, Hal Runkle, on News Talk 750 WSB.
Minutes past the hour. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. You also go to our website, screamfree.com. Tons of free resources, as well as resources you can use to begin your relationship revolution. And always send me an email, askhal@screamfree.com. And We're talking about some serious issues because we're talking about marriage. And we're excited because we're in the process of creating a new book. This whole Scream Free thing has been based on a book that I wrote called Scream Free Parenting that, thanks to an amazing team effort, has really reached out and helped a lot of folks around the world, and that's our blessing. But Scream Free Marriage, we're hoping to have even more of an effect. And it kind of begins with a principle that says, you know what, the best thing I can do for my marriage is focus on me. And that goes right against everything you've been told about relationship wisdom. Everything you've been told, especially about marriages, is, well, you need to be more focused on your spouse. You need to be less self-centered. And I combat that from the very beginning. Or I should say we, because this time I'm actually writing the book with the woman who chooses to stay married to me every day, who actually is a co-producer of this show, Jenny. And interesting call that we had last.
Yeah, it was. I found myself was listening, and part of what I do here is just write down questions, things that I'm thinking about.
Sure, and then you show them to me, and I either read those questions because I think they're good questions,
right,
or I flip you off and say, shut up and stop bothering me, I'm in my zone.
Usually the latter, yes.
But I don't flip you off that much.
What I found interesting in that call was maybe different is that every question that I kept thinking of had to do with his wife.
Right.
Even though I...
Is she depressed?
Yeah, well, yeah. Even though I preach and I write every day the premise that you just spoke about.
How right,
you
focus on ourselves.
On yourself,
right.
I write that every day, but it just kind of happened where I kept writing down questions like, is she depressed? Is she maybe going through menopause?
Sure.
Is she connected with her kids? Is she...
Sure.
And I can only imagine how hard that must be for him.
Right.
To kind of change that shift, you know.
It's hard
thinking.
For all of us.
Yeah.
Because part of the bad teaching out there is not just that we're supposed to be working to serve our spouse, but that necessarily carries with it the component that then that's what they should be doing for us. So I'm going to get married with the idea that this person's going to be working to make me happy. And you know what? You get married not to be happy. You get married to get married. But I want to help you be happier in your marriage by helping you focus on yourself in a very healthy way, in a way that helps you change the relationship dynamic without trying to change your spouse, because you've tried to do that. Jenny, you've tried to change me, and I'm not going to be changed by you, right?
Yeah, I've learned that a long time ago.
Yeah. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. 1-800-972-8255. I want to help you begin to, in a healthy way, look at your pattern in the relationship. What are you doing that's actually helping contribute to the problems that you later complain about? Because that's the only way you're actually going to do anything about it. And that's why I'm here. And after the break, we'll take your calls. You're listening to Scream Free Radio. You're on News Talk 750 WSB.
Helping you to realize that all your relationships can be screen free. This is Screen Free Radio with relationship expert Hal Runkel on News Talk 750 WSB. Call now and talk to Hal at 404-872-0750 or toll free at 1-800-WSB-TALK.
6 minutes past the hour, you are listening to Scream Free Radio. This is your host, Hal Runkel, and I am here to help bring some newfound calm into your stress-filled life and help you create the relationships you've always wanted. Folks, expect major delays on the downtown connector all weekend. We just encountered him driving down here, of course. Three lanes are closed again. DOT has multiple lane closures, I-75, 85 northbound and southbound for the continual repaving, and the Braves are home this weekend, so Your best bet is to use I-285 and check in with Newstalk 750 WSB for updated travel times. We've got reports 4 times an hour all weekend, and your next traffic update is just minutes away on Newstalk 750 WSB. And we're talking about some of the unique contributions that we are hoping to make with Scream Free Marriage. Just sent off a proposal. This thing that we've been working on for a long time. And it's difficult. It's only 75 pages, but the reason why it's been so difficult is because we really are wanting to do something unique. Is everybody who calls in could say, you know what, here are some things. All right, you got to communicate. And it's helpful to be forgiving and to be patient and take a time out when you are expecting a blow-up, and do regular date nights. What are, all of us could list some of those things, and some of those things are going to be in this book, actually, but that stuff is all working on a faulty model. And the model basically says that I'm responsible for my spouse's happiness, which, of course, means that my spouse is responsible for mine. So the very first title in this new book, the first chapter title, is that every great marriage is actually a self-centered marriage. Well, that very first title is meant to jar you from the very beginning and say, this is a different message altogether, because I think that's what's needed. Because I think marriage is in trouble not just because marriage is difficult. I think marriage is in trouble because the teaching about marriage is so faulty to begin with, because it's all leading us to focus on our spouse. And you cannot have this focus on our spouse to try and meet your spouse's needs without also having this focus on your spouse and this expectation of your needs that he or she is supposed to meet with you. And that leads us to an inevitable sense of entitlement. Because now every time I do something for my spouse, I'm expecting, maybe not said, maybe I'm denying this in myself, but it's there, this expectation that he or she will return the favor. And if she doesn't, then, or he doesn't, then that means our marriage is messed up. I'm doing everything I can, and this spouse is just not giving me everything right. Every one of us is involved in patterns. Relationships are based on patterns. And patterns necessarily involve more than one party. That's good news. The patterns that you're experiencing, the ones that you complain about, that's awfully good news. You know why? Because that means you're involved in the pattern, and I know you don't want to face that truth, but that truth is incredibly freeing, like all truth is, because it means, well, then there's something I can do about it. Because if I'm actually contributing to the pattern somehow, then maybe I can change my part of the pattern, and the pattern will necessarily change. It's actually true. It will. You always hear, it takes two to tango, so you know what, I'm not going to pursue therapy unless she's going to join me. Or unless he's willing to talk through these issues, then why even try? You know what? It takes two to create a pattern, but it takes one to change it. If you're in a dance, literally, if you're in a tango, and one partner decides to stop dancing that dance, then the tango's over. So it takes two to tango, but it takes one to change. And that's what I want to help you do. But it means facing some difficult truths about yourself. It means facing some things you haven't wanted to face. But, man, it's freeing. If I have the courage to face how I'm actually contributing to patterns, then I'm going to have the courage to make a difference in those patterns. And if I have that, then not only does that change my part in the pattern, but it communicates something different to my spouse. Not with words, necessarily, but it communicates to my spouse that, whoa, suddenly he's not harping on me. Or, whoa, suddenly she's not trying to change me. And that makes all the difference. It can make all the difference in the world. 404-872-0750. It's 1-800-WSB-TALK. 1-800-972-8255. I want to help you figure out how you are actually contributing to the very patterns that you complain about. And the reason why is not to make you feel bad. It's actually to free you the way truth does. To free you to actually make the changes. Now, I know that's difficult because it's always, always, always easier to complain than it is to change. Always. Always. But here's one of the premises, going beyond that, is that I believe every great marriage is a self-centered marriage. That means a great marriage happens not between two people who are working to meet each other's needs. No, it happens between two people who are actually becoming centered selves. And what that means, the way I try and describe it, is that I'm a person who recognizes happiness is my job. My own happiness is my job. I didn't get married to get happy. I get married to get married. Happiness is my job. It's not my spouse's job. So I'm going to be centered on what do I need to do to make myself a whole person. Because the more I work on myself, the less I'm asking or needing my spouse to work on me. But the more needy I get, then what I'm doing is saying, I need you to support me. I need you to be my cheerleader. Now, I want you, Jenny. I'm looking at you, yes. I don't know what you're doing over there, but we're actually trying to do a show here. I want you to support me as travel, as we write. I want you to be a fan of my work. But what happens if I need that from you? You tell me. What if I need it? If I need you to be my cheerleader?
It makes me not want to be your cheerleader. First of all, I don't like the idea of being a cheerleader.
Except those times we do the role play with the pom-poms. I really like those times. But maybe we shouldn't talk about that on the air.
Because this, you know, I keep have that image in my mind of that U.S. Was it the USC cheerleader who had her hands up when the other team?
Yeah, the other
team
was scoring a touchdown, and she's going, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a great photo.
It's just very hard for me to jump in there with the cheerleaders. No offense.
Sure.
But
I wear the shoulder pads. It's kind of a cool thing.
No, but, okay, if you're needy, it makes me not want to, it's hard to support because there's not a lot of respect there.
Say more about that.
Well, it's just easier to throw my support behind someone when I see that they are doing for themselves, when they are trying to make themselves better people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're trying to make yourself a better person, you're not a perfect person, and so I like the idea of it's just easier to get behind. It's easier to do what I can, even little unsuspecting things that you're not, you know, expecting me to do. When you're needing me to support you, then it just makes me, it's just kind of smarmy, and I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I'm not being very articulate.
No, you're not. We need to just get
that's why that my mic is not on very often.
Exactly.
And
why are you
my writing,
here?
I do my talking with my hands.
Why is she in the... Why did anybody let her in the studio? She's obviously got nothing of value. All righty. I'm your host, Hal Runkle. Jenny is not your host anymore. Can't articulate two words together.
Okay, it's just... Okay, let me try one more time.
Okay.
When you are needy...
Yes.
It's very difficult to respect you.
Yes.
Okay? And it's much easier to support someone when I feel like it's another adult and my support is because I want to give it. It's not because...
So when I'm fishing for a compliment...
It's really annoying. Is that...
Yeah.
Am I finishing your sentence? Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, if you're fishing for a compliment, there's a part of me that just goes, well, I'm not going to give him a compliment because he wants one.
Right.
Maybe that's completely immature. I probably is. But... There it is.
Again, wanting a compliment from you is one thing.
Right.
Needing it from you is
right.
another.
I think it's totally different to approach me and say, you know, I've noticed that you're really guarded with your compliments, and I'm wondering what that's about.
Sure.
That's respect engendering. That would make me respect you if you came to me that way. But if you're like, oh, you never compliment me, you know, like you normally do.
Thanks.
Then and then that's another aspect.
Well, then it puts you in a no-win situation.
Right.
And it's actually, it's a controversial thing that I say, but it's really not helpful to ask your spouse to do anything for you. Because if I ask you to compliment me in that whiny way, then here's your situation. You either say no, and that hurts my feelings, and so now I'm angry at you, or you say, okay, I'll compliment you. And then no matter what you say, I'm not going to take it as a compliment,
right,
because I'm going to say, well, you're just saying that because I asked you to. So it's putting you in a no-win situation.
Sure.
So how do I communicate? You know what? I like it when you compliment me, and it seems like you've been a little reserved with that.
What's going on?
Right. That's a much more healthy way to put it. But that means, like we've been talking about all show, I have to return the focus to myself. Okay, I'm not getting compliments from my wife. How do I feel about that? Well, maybe I'm not doing anything complimentary. Maybe I'm not doing anything worthy of a compliment. All right, that's probably true a lot of times. But also then, okay, how am I needing her to do that for me? Because if I need you to do that for me, well, that means that I'm not thinking about complimenting you. Ah. Well, stop talking about ours. I want to help you guys out there, listening in your cars and your homes and tired of hearing this couple. I want to help you. What are the struggles you're going through in your marriage? I want to help you understand how you are actually contributing to that. But I don't want to help you understand that in a shame on you way. I want to help you understand that in a way that actually gives you the freedom and power to change that. Because once we're willing to take hold of our own patterns, once we're willing to return the focus to ourselves, it's amazing how that truth does free us to make changes. And it necessarily changes the pattern of the relationship. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, 1-800-972-8255. You are listening to Scream Free Radio, News Talk 750, WSB.
He's calming the world, one relationship at a time. Now back to Scream Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750, WSB.
Bringing a newfound calm into your stress-filled life, this is Scream Free Radio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, that's 1-800-972-8255. We're talking about marriage, talking about the critical ingredient to creating change in your marriage is to focus more on yourself. How am I actually contributing to the very patterns that I've been complaining about? And we've got Lamar in Dawsonville. Lamar, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
How can I help you?
And I have a pretty good marriage. I love and adore my husband. We've been married almost 8 years.
Great. Kids?
I'm a stay-at-home mom with four kids.
Four kids in 8 years.
Actually, unfortunately, it's two kids in 8 years. The other two came earlier than him. So.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got a little mixed thing going.
Yeah, although that really works pretty well. But my husband is not overly enthusiastic about much. He is about the kids. He gets enthusiastic with the kids. I love to see that.
Okay.
But with his wife, I don't know how to read him. And it's saying, you know, I'm listening to you saying, you know, you can't need things. Because
right.
I have told him, I really need to hear from you.
Right.
You know, what it is that you need for me to do. You know, you want to have a clean house. Well, clean house is not exactly going to happen. That's just not.
Not with four kids, no.
So clean kitchen, you know, or clean laundry, or clean, you know, what is most important to you? Well, whatever. Well, I want to serve you. I want to make you happy. But, you know, I mean, I have to do it within my, you know, what I can do.
Right.
And any time I'm trying to pull anything from him. As a matter of fact, right now I'm coming home from doing a ministry weekend.
Okay.
Which he allowed me to do. But I'm like, do you support me in this ministry? Are you excited about it? Or are you just letting me do it because you know I need it? Well, it's fine.
Okay.
But just find me.
All right. So my guess is the more you press him for information, the more he shuts up.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like the pattern. And then when he does say something, you press him for more, and then he just backs off and says whatever. Here's one thing for sure. Whoever says whatever most in the relationship is actually in control.
Yeah.
Because listen to your words, all right? I want to serve him and make him happy. I'm on this weekend that he has allowed me to do. I want to know what he wants, but he is not able to do that, and he's not enthusiastic about me. All of which says your life has become centered on making him happy. And you need information from him in order to do that.
Right.
What makes you happy?
Well, doing this ministry weekend. I mean,
okay.
I do it freely. I mean, I don't feel guilty, you know. I'm comfortable.
Well, I want to clue you into something. He didn't allow you to do squat. You chose to do that.
Yeah.
And he does not have power over you to tell you what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, that was my previous marriage.
I understand. Well, you're getting right into it in this pattern by saying things like he allowed me to go. That's as silly as me saying, you know, my wife allowed me to go out with the guys. She's not my mom.
Right.
He's not your dad.
No, but at least he is happily taking care of the kids and not complaining about that.
Sure, sure.
And so that makes me happy as well.
It makes you feel a little less guilty about taking a weekend for yourself?
Right.
Right.
Because, you know, yeah, they're you know, four kids are not easy to keep happy and fed and,
okay,
you know.
I want to hear more. What makes you happy?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this ministry weekend makes me happy, and keeping the house somewhat neat makes me happy, and keeping the kids occupied.
Okay, and what else?
Pretty much that's all I have time for.
I understand that. I understand. Yeah, it's crazy home. Crazy home.
Yeah.
But you said one thing is, you know what, he's not, and the reason why you called is because he's not as enthusiastic about you as he would like.
That's probably true.
And as long as you come across needy, like you are to him, then that's just going to dampen his enthusiasm for wanting to be with you.
Okay.
What's going to come across as exciting is when you don't need him. You don't need him. You don't ask for his permission to do things like that. You don't make sure, kind of. You don't press him for information to make sure. But you want him.
Okay.
One of the most powerful statements my wife ever said to me is when she came to realize, you know what, I don't need you. And that shocked me. This is earlier. We've been married about 8 years, like you. She came to say, I don't need you. And it hurt.
Yeah.
And then she stepped closer to me and said in a quieter voice, but I want you. That got my attention. And she probably got more from me at that time than she wanted. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call, Lamar. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't need you, but I want you. You want to get a response from your spouse, change the dynamic with that small step. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's 1-800-972-8255. We've got a bunch of callers on the line. Please hold on. I want to get to your questions. I want to help you create the relationships you've always wanted. You're listening to Screen Free Radio here on News Talk 750 WSB.
It's a relationship revolution you don't want to miss. You're listening to Screen Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB.
Minutes past the hour. This is Screen Free Radio. And had a couple of people call during the break that, you know, I know, we talk about sensitive issues on this show. And so often that the first phone call to the show is the first phone call they've made to anybody, certainly a professional, about what's going on in their relationship. And so, you know, I've done shows in different cities, and a lot of times people say, you know, call me Mrs. X or whatever. That is perfectly okay. But a couple of calls that we've just taken, and I was able to speak with them, they not only wanted to change their name, but they just didn't think they could get on the air. And I get that. I want to try and make it as inviting for you as possible, but I understand it is really challenging talking to an objective party about stuff that goes on behind closed doors. One guy, let's call him Steve, just heard from his wife 2 days ago that she wants a divorce. And it was hard for him to talk without breaking up, and I think he just struggled with that enough. But he was able to ask me a question that I think would be a good question for us to examine And it's, what do you do if you, when you're first hearing about your partner's desire to divorce, for instance, what do you do if they're not interested in changing? What do you do, like we've been talking about, focusing on yourself, this whole program, focusing on yourself and making changes in the pattern, but what about if that person's response to you is they don't want to go with you? I'll tell you, there's two parts in this. If you want to create change, there's two parts in the change cycle. And one is that initial decision to do something different. One of the stories we're telling in this marriage book is a story I think we told about 3 weeks ago on this show, and it's a foundational story in the history of our marriage, and it's when Jenny decided that she was going to end the pattern that we have it on every Sunday morning, where she was getting the kids ready and then for church and getting herself ready, and she was nagging me and begging me and pleading with me, and for whatever reason I was turning into just a lazy dork. And it was this pattern we had every Sunday until one Sunday morning when she just poked her head into the bathroom. I was getting ready, and she said, "Hey, just let you know, we're leaving in 10 minutes, and the kids and I are leaving, and we'd love for you to join us." And she meant it. And she did it. How I responded to that was positively. And what was great is after I responded positively, she didn't say, "I told you so, I told you I was going to leave, and I can't believe I had to do that, blah, 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 blah." It was, "Hey, glad you could make it. Glad you could join us." Now, the second part of the change cycle was avoided because what happens if I didn't respond positively? What happens? "I can't believe you would do that. You are so selfish to leave. I cannot believe that you would leave me knowing because I had to teach a class and we only had one car. I was back in graduate, blah, 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 blah." But the second part of the change thing is, okay, I've made a change that's a rupture from the dance that we've been doing. But when my partner responds negatively, that usually is an effort to get you back into the old dance. Get you back in the nagging, "I told you, see, I told you," which is much more of the same part of the pattern that she was doing. And the difficulty is you got to still hold on. Hold on to yourself. You got to be prepared for a negative response because you're changing a dance that you may have been doing for 27 years, as the caller we had in the first hour said. 27 years of dancing the same way, those steps become so familiar that they actually get comfortable even though they might be making you miserable. 27 years. And so when you make a change that's different, you got to expect that person to not take it extremely well. They'll sometimes be shocked in the change. Your wife gets up and sees that you made the bed. You made the bed. She's been begging you to make the bed forever. But you made the bed. Well, it's so easy for her to then say, "Oh, you think making the bed's going to make everything fine? I see that you made the bed. You think that's going to make everything okay in our relationship? Or, okay, you made the bed. Are you trying to say that I don't do a good job taking care of the house? You did the dishes. Are you trying to say that I don't do a good enough job? It's interesting. You never know what that response is going to be. And that's kind of the cool part, is you don't know what that response is going to be. Because you're doing something different. But it all comes down to, what's your motivation for doing that thing different? Are you getting up and making the bed so that she will notice, so that she will then congratulate you, and voila, be totally changed, right? And everything will be wonderful, and she recognizes how great you are, and blah, blah, blah. Or, are you making the bed because you like a made bed? See, the key part of this is changing your part of the dance, and then not doing it so that your partner then changes with you. That's part of what I call being self-centered, is becoming a centered self, recognizing I want to do things for my own motivation. We had a caller 2 segments ago that all of her language was, "Well, I'm trying to get my husband to tell me what's going to make him happy. I'm trying to serve him. I'm trying to be a good wife. He allowed me to go on this weekend, which was nice, but I need to know from him so that I can make him happy." Meaning, she has lost the focus of making herself happy. Her happiness is now defined by her husband's happiness. If her husband's happy, then she is. It's now defined by that. So she checks her husband's temperature to know how she's supposed to be feeling. And I always, whenever I see that, I think about that movie. And Jenny and I, you and I joke about this all the time, you're going to help me, but the movie Coming to America, where Hakim the prince is getting married, and it's an arranged marriage, and found the most beautiful person in the country, right? And her whole purpose is to serve him. And so, but he wants someone who is intellectually equal with him. He wants someone that that he can actually have a partnership with, not somebody just there to serve him.
Right.
So he says, tell me what you like.
She goes, whatever you like.
What type of music do you like?
Whatever you like.
Right.
And then the best part is when he tells her to bark like a dog.
Bark like a dog. Hop on one leg. Because her whole life is based on making him happy, but that doesn't make him happy, and it certainly doesn't make her happy. So becoming a centered self is about discovering my own motivation for making these changes. I'm going to start making the bed. Why? Because I like having a made bed. And then, you know what? I'm going not going to stick around to see if she notices. And I'm not going to wait all day to see if she congratulates me because of this thing that I've finally done. Yay! No. I'm making the change because I want a made bed. And you know what happens? If she does notice, she'll say something. I'll go, oh, yeah, sure. And because I don't need her to notice, I accept it as genuine. If I need her to notice, then I accept it as entitlement. It's about time. I've made the change for you, and then you know what the entitlement thing does? Is now I expect you to make a change for me. You've been asking me to make the bed, so I finally did. See? See? Now I've been asking you for more sex. So now we're going to unmake the bed and have more sex, right? Because I made the bed for you. You're supposed to unmake it for me, and we're supposed to have a romp in the sheets, right? Yeah, that's real sexy. Sex out of obligation, or out of entitlement, or payback, or whatever. That's not what you want. And changes in your relationship are not what you want. I don't want my wife to do something that I've asked her to do. I want her to want to do that on her own. But if I'm focused on making her happy, then I'm also necessarily focused on her making me happy. I did not get married in order to get happy, neither did you. You got married to get married. Happiness is up to you. My happiness is up to me. Does that involve my marriage? Are there elements of my marriage that can make me happy? Yeah. I want to help you, though, discover that within your relationship, there are things you can do to make yourself happy. And the amazing byproduct of that is then that frees your spouse up to not have to serve you, to not have to find out what you need, but to discover his or her own joy and happiness. And then you can actually share that with each other. And that's so much a better model for relationship than me trying to figure out what your language is that you speak, and I got to speak it in the right way and figure out exactly what makes you happy, and then, you know, I got to tell you what makes me happy so that you can do that for me, and it's this wonderful needs-meeting society creating two really needy people. And that's when you get stuck in the quid pro quo patterns. I'm going to do this for you as long as you do this for me, and then if you don't do this for me, then I'm not going to do this for you. The only way out of this mess is to focus more on myself. And that's what I want to help you do. That's what the whole Scream Free thing is about. That's why we travel the country and are starting to travel the world, speaking to audiences. And I'm so blessed because of this incredible team that makes up Scream Free. Opportunities, I'm speaking in front of Muslim audiences around this country and soon to be around the world. And I'm having a conversation with a guy, a leader in the Muslim American community in this country. And he's saying how, where governments cannot go, where military cannot go, where institutionalized religion cannot go, Scream Free can go. Because you're just talking to folks about kids, talking to folks about marriages. And that's the stuff that matters most. And that is very humbling for us to hear. But it's because this message is truer than us, and it's before us. This message about, if I want to truly have great relationships, then I need to focus on myself. It's not a new message. Maybe it hasn't been said exactly that way, but it's been practiced. If I'm focusing on myself and becoming centered in myself, validating myself, doing things for my own reasons, that frees me up to then serve my spouse, not out of a need for her to serve me in return. But that means I've got to focus on what my parts of the pattern are that are keeping us stuck. That's part of focusing myself. And you know what? I'm blathering. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, 1-800-972-8255. There's folks that have been waiting on the show. I want to get to your calls. I want to help you create the relationships you've always wanted. That is why we are here. You're listening to Scream Free Radio on News Talk 750. WSB.
Now, back to Scream Free Radio with New York Times bestselling author and creator of the Scream Free Relationship Revolution, Hal Runkle, on News Talk 750 WSB.
52 and a half past the hour, and Pauline. Welcome to Scream Free Radio, Pauline.
Thank you for having me. I'm a first-time listener, and I love my husband, and he's helpful around the house and with the kids and their homework.
Uh-huh.
But I struggle with his spending. That's the area I'm struggling with.
Spending money.
Yes, getting credit card that's not necessarily need to have.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't tell me about it. I have to find out because, you know...
Do you know why he doesn't tell you about it?
Yeah, because you know I'm going to say something and he don't want to hear it.
Exactly, and it's going to make you... It's going to make you feel like his mom and he's going to feel like your son.
Right, because right now that's what he said. I'm talking to him as if I'm his mom or I'm treating him as if he's a child.
Sure. Would you like a way to address it without sounding like a mom?
Right.
Would you like to hear me tell you that?
Well, if you could give me some idea, yeah.
Sure. It's very simple. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Hey, honey, when you spend money that we don't have, money that you don't tell me about, you're obviously free to do that. You're an adult, and you can do that. I just want you to know that when you do it, it's really unattractive. And then turn around and walk away.
Okay.
A mom doesn't talk to her son about unattractive. She talks to her son about right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A wife talks to her husband, saying it's really unattractive. Makes it hard for me to be attracted to you. And I just want you to know that. And then turn around and walk away.
Okay.
Do you hear the difference?
Yes, you're right.
And he will too.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you should not address. You should address it because
right.
He's spending a resource that you share.
Right.
And the better you both are at communicating about that money issue before you spend it, the better off you're going to be. But
right.
You cannot communicate as mother to son.
Uh-huh.
It just perpetuates the problem.
I agree. I think maybe that is the reason why sometimes we have disagreement, because maybe I just need to practice and learn how to really talk to him. I'm not sounding like I'm bossing.
Sure. Well, it has to start first with, do you think it's your job to bring him in line?
No, but I would like both of us together, you
okay.
know, share the money, because we also would like to save
sure.
for retirement,
sure.
and we both can, you know, enjoy together.
Tell him how it makes you feel. It makes me feel very unattracted to you, and you need to know that. And then don't stick around waiting for the response. It's not about getting a response from him. It's about communicating to him that, look, you are free to do as you please because you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use your freedom to do things that actually damage us both, it makes it really hard for me to be around you. It makes it hard for me to like you. It really makes it hard for me to be attracted to you. And I want to be attracted to you, but it makes it hard.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes, I sure can.
Good.
Yes, I will.
Good. Well, give us a call next week and let us know how it goes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Pauline. Tell you, it is so fundamentally different when we talk to our spouse as a spouse, not as someone responsible for you. So if I talk to my wife as I'm responsible for her, then I think it's my job to get her in line because she's doing something that's wrong or she's doing something that's damaging. And I can talk that responsibility talk all day, and I can try and use logic, and look, it just doesn't make sense, especially with money or with any issue. But that's not going to get anywhere because I'm talking down to her. And I cannot talk to my wife like she's a child without expecting her to continue to act like one. What I have to do is talk to my wife like she's my wife. Talk to her like she's my equal. She's my partner. She's my lover. She's my best friend. And she needs to know if I'm doing something, or if she's doing something that I find unappealing. And I'm not going to tell her it's wrong. I'm just going to tell her how it impacts me, particularly in the way that I feel about her. That makes all the difference in the world. Because what it means is, you know what, first, I'm confronting myself. First, I'm focusing on myself. Okay, how am I actually contributing to this pattern? Pauline's way of contributing to the pattern of her husband continuing to spend is she treats him like a son, like a little kid, and then she's shocked when he continues to act like one. And he does. So instead of him having the maturity to address her on that issue, he goes and spends money behind her back again without telling her, which is his way of perpetuating the issue. The issue is not that he's spending money. The issue is that they have a mother-son dynamic that is preventing them from actually being married. My guess is, those of you who are married, you actually want to be married. But all of us want to be married and we don't want to at the same time. Because when we are fully married, that means we're vulnerable with each other. It means we're equal with each other. It means I confront myself before I confront my spouse. Because I recognize it's not her job to make me happy. And it's certainly not my job to make her happy. You know who I want to thank? I want to thank my two children who are actually sitting here in the studio. My 11-year-old girl, Hannah, and my 9-year-old boy, Brandon. And we did a terrible job of farming them out this afternoon, and so they were here in the studio, and they didn't tear up the place. They didn't pull down the wallpaper. It was great. It's the magic of Benadryl, folks. Drug your kids. You heard it here. Drug your kids, especially on the airplane when I'm traveling. Like this week on a flight to Houston on Wednesday. Please, drug your babies. Yeah. Hey, folks, we'll be here next week. Cannot wait. We'll talk more about marriage, relationship stuff. And I think we have someone who wants to say hi. Hey, there's Hannah and...
Yo!
Yes, there's my son who thinks he's really cool. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, folks, we are out of here. You have been listening to Scream Free Radio here on News Talk 750 WSB.